Today, a remote coastline in India, where climate change is a serious issue for people living there. They are directly threatened by the changes in the world around them. Their land is being swallowed up by a rising sea. NPR's Philip Reeves visits an island on the edge of the Bay of Bengal, and it's not just any island.
The mid-morning ferry from the mainland has just pulled in. Hundreds of passengers jostle with each other as they stream down the jetty. They're arriving from India's east coast after a short journey across the soupy, flat waters of a giant estuary. The island's quayside stallholders are waiting eagerly. They're cranking on hand presses, turning sugarcane into juice. A man sits on a mat surrounded by exotic shells, advertising his wares by blowing on a conch. This is a good place to do business. Thousands come here to Sagar Island every day. Sagar is part of the Sundarbans, a low-lying archipelago that straddles India and Bangladesh. It's wrapped in the world's largest block of mangrove forest and fans out into the Bay of Bengal. Amid this spray of islands, mudflats and swampy jungle lives the endangered Royal Bengal tiger, an amazing animal that drinks salt water, swims for miles, and occasionally kills an inhabitant. The delta is home, too, to man-eating crocodiles. It's also home to a lot of people, more than 4 million just on the Indian side. They include Varun Pike. Pike is a tough, wiry-looking farmer in his 50s. He's spent his life on Sagar Island. Today, he's standing on a long, wide beach, pointing a finger out to sea.
2 kilo. 3 kilometers.
A mile or two out, beneath the grey waves, lies most of his land, he says. Pike's surrounded by the rubble of a giant brick wall. Large, broken lumps of brickwork are scattered along the beach in a straight line, as far as the eye can see. This is the remains of a barrier built by the authorities. A cyclone ripped down the wall a few years back. Pike now only has 2 acres close by the beach. His land's recently been flooded several times. He thinks it's only a matter of time before it's completely swallowed up.
This year all my land will be gone because the barrier is gone.
Durga Pal lives here too. She's small and middle-aged and weathered by nearly half a century of island life. She says her family's also lost most of its land.
Our grandparents and our parents, they all used to stay here and we had a lot of wealth. And a lot of land before this. But now we are left with very little land and very little money to survive on.
Pal says many people in her village have left.
Happy.
50. Half the community's left because of the sea coming in. What will you do if the sea does come onto your last remaining piece of land? What will you do, sir?
She's not sure. But she and her neighbours are sure about why the waters are devouring their land.
Bhagwan is responsible. The God is responsible for it.
Gods and gurus play a big part in the life of this island. Sagar Island stands at the point where the Ganges, Hinduism's holiest river, flows into the sea. Once a year, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims gather here for one of Hinduism's largest religious festivals. Most of the island's small thatched mud homes have their own shrine. There are hundreds of temples. At the best known of these temples, a group of women is worshipping. Baba Jitendra Das is one of its priests. He says Hindus come here from all over the world.
England, Germany, Japan.
The temple is about 300 yards from the beach. Das says when it was first built, it was situated a couple of miles away, on land now underwater.
Before this, there were 3 temples which were destroyed by the water, and this is the 4th temple which was built.
The islands of the Sundarbans have been shrinking and shifting for centuries, partly because of silt and subsidence. But the rise in water levels began to accelerate a few years ago.
Since the year 2000, the trend is actually steeper, upward steeper.
Pranabis Sanyal is a member of India's Coastal Zone Management Authority. Sagar Island is less than 30 kilometres long. Sanyal says in the last 40 years it's shrunk by 25 square kilometres. He's been studying the Sundarbans for most of his professional life. So has oceanographer Sugata Hazra.
For the last 20, 30 years, we are getting more cyclones and we are losing land to the sea. This is the reality.
Hazra's worried about a recent surge in scepticism about climate change, fueled by widely publicized mistakes made by the UN's climate change panel, including the prediction that the Himalayan glaciers could be gone in 25 years. Hazra concedes climate change scientists do make mistakes and should correct them, but he adds,
if they lose the battle to this lobby who are trying to discredit the science of climate change, who are trying to defame the scientists, the world lose the battle.
Hazra says sea levels in the Sundarbans are rising at a rate well above the global average. He says thousands of families have already been displaced, becoming climate change refugees. Hazra says the causes are many and complex, but he's in no doubt human beings are playing a part.
Look, it is definitely a factor. It is not that it is a possibility. It is one of the most important factors is the man-made climate change.
The islanders themselves are not so certain. A group gathers in a farmyard to tell the story of a tiny island nearby. That island completely disappeared beneath the waves 20 years ago. Radha Rani Jana and her family used to live there and had to move here.
Our house and our farms all got submerged.
The families worried that one day the rising seas will compel them to move again. They too see this as the work of the gods rather than people.
Has anybody here heard of global warming, man-made global warming? Has anybody in this group heard of that?
No.
We ask again using different words. Again, there are blank faces. The islanders of the Sundarbans, the people in the front line of the rising seas, know much about the dangers of tigers and crocodiles, but little of the damage mankind is doing to their world. Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.